Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, and welcome to the Net Worth Podcast, where we talk all things WTA and handicap the WTA. I'm Noops, and joining me, as always, my buddy from Sacramento, Spread. How's it going?
I'm doing great this evening. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. Also joining us again, my very favorite Canadian, Jorge. How's everything north of the border?
It is very, very cold.
And we have two very fantastic guests joining us. We just finished being guest on the very wonderful Ball Boys podcast, and they were nice enough to rescind the favor and come to join us here. And joining us from Minnesota, we have Andy. How's it going, bud?
Oh, it's rytastic over here. We've just been drinking our way through two podcasts.
That's right, folks. Watch out for that beautiful sound of an ice cube clinking against the side of a glass. That will be Andy. There it is. We love it. And joining us from Las Vegas, Nevada, the man with an absolutely wonderful woman by his side who surprised him with a fantastic trip. Kelly, how did it feel this morning when he found out you were going to Vegas?
I was a little upset. I thought I was going to miss this podcast. But we are live and in color in Vegas.
I love the priorities. Always the focus.
Can we tell? Yeah, can we tell that story?
I think we should. You want to tell it, Andy?
Yeah, as Kelly's pod, yeah, as Kelly's podcast compatriot, I get strange DMs from time, and anyone on gambling Twitter knows you get weird ones like, "Hey, hit me up if you need a credit book," or "Hey, just weird shit in a different language." you get some strange DMs, but I got one, and what struck me is it was from a lady, so I'm like, "Well, I'm checking this out," and it was from Kelly's wife, and she says, "Hey, this is, you know, I'm so and so. I'm Kelly." And then she says, in parentheses, Big Ten Waddle, which is his Twitter handle. So, I know you work on Twitter or on podcasts with him, and I know you're going to be trying to record Friday evening. She's like, but it's his birthday this weekend. I'm surprising him. I'm taking him to Vegas. She's like, so she wanted to tell me, which was awful sweet of her, so we could reschedule and make sure everyone was, you know, not just setting aside time that they weren't actually going to be recording a podcast at. But at the same time, she didn't want me to bust the surprise up. So I actually knew Kelly was going to Vegas before he did, which was kind of fun for me.
It was a lot of fun. You know,
I'm not going to say that I can fully say I have people's wives just DMing me randomly.
It's just a fantastic story.
Hat tip to her. That's what an awesome move to take him for a surprise trip for his birthday. Hope he has fun this weekend. And also super big thanks for, you know, still making time. He's on like the 14th floor of the Venetian recording a podcast at, you know, 10 at night with us. So appreciate it.
Well, happy birthday, Kelly. We're super lucky to have you. And again, guys, these are our friends from the Ball Boys podcast. You can find them on just about every podcast forum there is. Ball Boys, the S is actually a Z. And of course, we're talking to Andy, who you can find on Twitter at AndyMSFW, and our buddy Kelly at Big Ten Watto. We just recorded on their podcast, so please give that a listen. But we'll break down the women's draw here. So let's start in the top quarter where we have a lot of really big names here. Simona Halep coming back for her first, you know, real serious appearance of the year. We've got Serena Williams in the top half, Karolina Pliskova. Let's start with you, Spread. What do you think of that first quarter?
All right. I know we were talking earlier in about Simona's chances. I'm actually not too keen on her based off just the recent match I saw. She relies on defense and consistency, and she just didn't seem to have it yet. And I also wonder how much not having Cahill there is going to affect her. I saw her looking to the stands, and, you know, it was weird. I was wondering, okay, who's she looking for? Because I know that she chose not to replace him, and she's working without a coach. So I don't know if she's really ready yet. And on top of that, they did not give her a very nice draw at all. Having Kanepi there in the first round, who beat her in the Open in the first round, I think that's a tough matchup for her because it's a hitter that might not let her get into the groove. And then, you know, if everything goes according to plan, she will meet Cannon, who is a fighter, you know, the same type of attitude that Halep has. So because of those things, even though she's the number one seed, I kind of think this is Serena Williams' draw to lose. I think that at the Open and at Wimbledon, she showed that, you know, she's back to her great form. And I think it's going to be very tough to unseat Serena here.
So, Jorge, what do you think of this top quarter here? I know there's a lot of big names, and we talked a little bit before this. I think you probably agree with Spread on a lot of the things he said about Halep, but do you see any value to be had here, either from an outright perspective, maybe to win the quarter, or even somebody to win a couple rounds?
Well, the most value involved in this is going to be teaching Americans that it's Z, not Z. Otherwise, not really a huge amount. I'm not a huge I think her first two matches be tougher than her third, honestly. I think Kanepi and Cannon will pose more problems than, like, say, Venus Williams would at this point. I'm not exactly fond of taking her at the price, considering she's got landmines all over the place. And I'm looking at other sections of the draw. I think this has, you know, the potential to have a lot of great second, third, fourth round matches to watch, but not one I'm looking to bet in particular.
It's a really, really tough first quarter here with the names. Now, Kelly, I know you've sworn off betting the WTA, but are we going to tricky into any outrights here since it's late at night and you maybe have had one too many at this point?
Oh, I'm always down for a long shot. I may have had a WTA bet on the US Open. So if you can talk me into one, I don't think it's coming from the first quarter though. Mm-hmm. Like, man, it's been a while since I paid like minute attention to the draw in a WTA event, but this top quarter's got some crazy names in it. Serena, Pliskova, Halep, Muguruza, Venus. It's crazy. It's a lot of names.
So maybe I'm curious from
I can't believe you skipped over your countrywoman.
I don't know if she's a name still, is she?
She's the name. We have to talk about Jeannie Bouchard. We're you know, we have to as a result of being friends with Bo. If we don't, he'll stop being friends with us.
He'll get upset. Well.
No more CLV.
Absolutely not.
There's no long shot coming out of this quarter, though. There's nobody like Serena's plus 175 to win the quarter, and she's, you know, 4 or 5 to 1, depending on your book, to win the tournament. There's no surprise coming out of this quarter. It's going to be Serena or Pliskova the Greater, right? There's no surprises in this quarter.
Agreed. Yeah, the top quarter here is really tough. So, you know, that said, Andy, do you have any actual opinions?
Oh, God, no. I muddled my way through a WTA Periscope today. I thought that was plenty of women's. And I will say Kelly has not sworn off the WTA. He has maybe sworn off WTA individual bets, but he will more than gladly jump at an outright. He's placed outrights more than once, and he can't lie. Now, this is it is a heavy quarter. There's some big names. We talked about it in the Periscope, obviously, earlier with just Serena's health. If she is truly back in form, got that core strength back from the C-section, she's the best. She's still the best. I don't think anybody can disagree with that.
Yeah, so let me ask you WTA guys. Bo, speaking of Bo, he advised to take Serena at Christmas time at 5 to 1. Do you subscribe to that? Like, is she still value at 4.5 or 5 to 1 if it's still available?
Considering the draw, I don't have her. I have my bracket done. I don't have her winning, but I have her going way deep. And I think I literally picked an emotional pick in my bracket over her. So yes, I think that's value. I think if I'm betting with my, you know, with my wallet and not with my fandom filling out brackets, then absolutely. I think that, that she could. It's a tough quarter. But I picked her to lose, I think, in the semis to, I think, to my favorite player. So it's, she could easily get.
So through. I'm going to throw $100 on her right now. Since we're talking.
I love Serena. I think she that has a really, really good draw. What do you think here, Spread? Does she have a chance to make it all the way to the finals?
Yeah, I think at 4.5 to 1, we were talking about Djokovic when we did the men's draw. And I think that, you know, when she's on, she can have that same form of dominance. Now, of course, we don't get the knowledge of whether or not she is, but with the way that the season ended for her last year and just some, you know, photos of her training and a couple of videos I saw, I mean, she looks like she's in good shape. She's definitely had plenty of time to recover from the C-section. So I think at 4.5 to 1, there is value on Serena Williams.
So, Spread, are you subscribing to the, like, I'm not getting behind the Djokovic thing here, but if you're all over Djokovic and Serena, you parlay those outrights, you get 11 to 1.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that's
if there's one thing we've learned about gambling, parlay always.
Parlay everything.
Well, I totally agree with you guys. I think there's actually value. It sounds crazy to talk about someone at 4.5 to 1 in a WTA tournament, or really even the favorite in any tournament. When we look at odds, I know that a lot of us bet on tennis and we bet on several other sports. It's very rare that you find someone who's the actual favorite with a little value. But when I look at Serena Williams' draw, I see an opportunity for her to have some actual value at that price. So I'm kind of excited to hear you guys agree on that a little bit. So it sounds like, you know, if you guys want to, it's not a bad idea. It sounds like Kelly's already down for $100, which I believe is a full unit for him and spreads in at this point.
Just posted it to our little chat. I'm totally in. Serena, there we go.
Can I point out the most exciting match in this quarter in the first round?
Please do.
Without a doubt, if you're going to watch one match, it has to be Madison Brangle versus Misaki Doi.
Oh my God.
Holy blockbuster. Holy blockbuster, that fucking thing. What a fucking dumpster fire, eh? Holy shit.
That's right, folks. You get to hear a real Canadian A. It's not often you get that outside of Coen Brothers movies. But here at the Net Worth Podcast, it's possible. So I think for the most part that wraps up our thoughts in the first round. It sounds like we're kind of hand stacked on Serena here, despite the tough group in the top quarter. So let's go down to this second quarter where we see, again, some more big names. The nice part about the WTA is we have a lot of really good players here. Naomi Osaka is in this quarter. Victoria Azarenka is in here. Wang Chung, who we made a good chunk at the end of the season, betting her. Jorge, what do you think of this quarter?
I think it's got Alina Svitolina in it, so I'm going to start there. I think a lot of people that we kind of brainstorm with like her value, and I'm still a little nervous. I kind of try to avoid betting her outright as a fan because I probably should because I'm cheering for her anyway, but I think I'm looking at Elise Mertens down here. I believe it was you on the Periscope today who made a very strong case, so I'll let you do that in a second. For Elise Mertens at a nice high number. So I've got her penciled in at 66 to 1 over at Bet365. We don't get paid for those plugs, so I don't know why I do it. But Elise Mertens, 66 to 1, I like that.
One of my favorite things to do with outrights is to take a look at the prices and see who's kind of in the same group. And when you look at 66 to 1, I've got Bovada here sitting in front of me. Caroline Garcia, Elise Mertens, and Helena Ostapenko are all 66 to 1. One of those three names is not like the other, and the answer to me was Elise Mertens. So at 66 to 1s, again, you mentioned the Periscope we did earlier with Andy, who's probably wasted most of his actual creative thoughts, and our good buddy Whale Capper earlier. I love Elise Mertens at 66 to 1. Spread, what do you think?
Did you say I'm wasted?
You might be. You might be. I heard a clink in a few seconds. So we'll kick it to you. You know what, Andy? It's your turn after Spread. But Spread, what do you see here?
No, I was. I didn't look at Mertens originally, but after the convincing argument you gave on the Scope today, I went ahead and placed that bet as well. So I'm definitely. I don't disagree with what you said. I didn't come up with it myself, but I jumped on board and I put a little wager in myself.
Well, I'm not letting you out of this easy. So, do you see any other names here? Again, you've got Victoria Azarenka. I know you love betting on Wang Chung. We've got Sevastova in here. Is there anybody else in this quarter you think has a chance to win it?
Well, I'm surprised we haven't mentioned Osaka yet. I mean, as you had mentioned earlier, she's the Time Magazine heir to the throne. She's going to break Margaret Court's record, according to Time Magazine. But obviously, if she gets hot, she can pose a problem for anybody. And, I wouldn't be surprised if she does get hot. Can you imagine seeing her against Svitolina? That could be a fantastic quarterfinal there. So I don't think that we should necessarily count her out. I know that when she plays well, she can be very tough to beat.
Kelly, do you have any feelings on Naomi Osaka?
I'm very grateful to Naomi Osaka for playing fantastic tennis last August. That's for sure. I would assume, without digging too deep into the comparative values of each outright, that all the value's been sucked out of Naomi Osaka's numbers. Like 3 to 1 to win the quarter, and whatever she is, like 10 to 1 or 12 to 1 to win the tournament, doesn't seem like it's a proper number considering she was 33 to 1 to win the US Open. So I can't see that. What my question to you guys would be about Azarenka. She's won this tournament twice. She has had a horrible last 2 years with family issues and not traveling out of the States. So like, I don't know like how rusty she is, but can she upset Azarenka or can she upset Osaka in the third round? And can she make a run like 40-1? That seems
That was my hot take. That was my hot take that stayed on the cutting room floor for the Periscope. I have to like scroll back and find that because I said some ridiculous shit. I think it was Azarenka. Correct me if I'm wrong, W2EA guys. Azarenka, former number one?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Jorge would know, yeah, for sure. Okay.
Back to back Aussie Open.
Back to back Aussie Open. So my hot take, and I'm scrolling back to find exactly what I said because this is this afternoon.
Maybe we talk too much it. That we think the same now.
And then, all right, so she wins it and then tells the whole world that baby Leo isn't even hers. It was all just a ruse. And this whole last 2 years have just been because, oh my God, it's been to the point of annoying. Like, I don't want to hear about this. I just want to see her play really good tennis again because I'm actually a fan of hers.
So, yeah, same here. But so can she play good tennis without – like, what was her warm-up schedule like? Did she play last fall even?
She played Auckland and lost in three to Venus Williams in the first round, I believe. Great match. And that's what threw me off is I really was hoping this year she loves the faster court. She can really hit. Osaka's hitting is not going to deter her. And Osaka even mentioned in her warm-up in Brisbane when she lost, she said, I still got a little bit pouty. She still has that kid inside her. When she gets behind, she can still, you know, unravel. Like a lot of the women that are hitters, they just start getting erratic. Like Elena Ostapenko has for the last fucking year and a half. But I think that her first two matches look appealing. Laura Siegmund is no hard quarter in, you know, any shape or form, pure clay quarter. And then Vogeler or Sue Shea. Shea's style might bug her for five or six games, but if she can work her way and adjust, she's into the what is that, fourth round now, I think? Yeah, I can't count, but I think that's third round.
She'll have to play Osaka.
And then I think she can compete with Osaka, absolutely. I don't think, you know, as bad as a three-set loss to Venus was, Osaka lost in straight sets, wouldn't even have covered 5.5 games against Lesia Sorenko in her loss in Brisbane. So,
So I feel like this second quarter, like the top half of this bracket seems super – top, like this bracket seems super, yes, super top heavy because you guys already mentioned Mertens. I know, Jorge, you love Svitolina. There's also, I wanted to ask you guys about Madison Keys. Where's her format? She's a big hitter too, though, right? Like, she can, where's she
been?
Around.
Like, she's been nowhere. I mean, yeah,
well, that's why I'm asking you, right? Like, I don't know. Like,
I don't think she has any. I don't think she's good. Played. So it's, yeah, I'd deter from for anyone from betting
you
on
can
her.
Back her in the summer.
All right. Well, sign me up for Azarenka.
I love that killer.
All right. Guys, you guys are talking me into some bets.
Yeah, as for your question on whether or not Azarenka can beat Osaka, Osaka can beat herself any match. Most of the times when she loses, it's not because the other player plays so great. I mean, she'll just start spraying, and like you said, she'll just start pouting and giving up. So I understand your Azarenka. And with Shea, that's actually a bad draw because Azarenka is a strong enough and solid enough player where she's not going to really be thrown off by the junk ballers. Like, you know, we talked about, you know, beware of Shea against younger players, but there's nothing that Shea's going to do that Azarenka hasn't seen or won't be able to adjust to. So I do like that, but you are kind of just betting on that, flipping a coin on which Osaka will show up there. But I guess, you know, when you're flipping a coin and then you're getting 40-1, that's really not a bad deal.
Well, then let me ask you about the 40-1. Like, assuming she gets through a quarter, she'd have to play Serena, right? She actually stacks up. She's like, she's not afraid of Serena. You can take Azarenka 14-1 to win the quarter. Is that a better bet than the 40-1 to win the tournament?
Well, I don't think so because if she's going to beat Serena and Osaka, I mean, who's stopping her from the bottom half, really?
Well, thing I would say that I do like the 14-1 better is that the problem is in her, since her comeback, is she hasn't been able to put together the good performances. Because I know I can tell you, you know, the times that, you know, you fade her and then she plays great and you go, okay, Vika's back, but she hasn't been able to just keep it up, you know, match after match. And I can't see her going so seven. I think the 14-1 is a much better deal, unless you're going for the
road. She doesn't have to play Serena for the 14-1.
Yeah. Right. So she might blow her wad before she gets to Serena.
I just can't see her playing seven good matches at this point. She just hasn't shown any consistency.
No one's scared of Queen Alina.
That's right. Queen Alina. That's my boy, Andy.
And I will say, I love Spread's point there about Osaka beating herself. I was trying to get that in the
And the other thing I wanted to point out is when we're doing this,
those Osaka box scores, like 54 winners, 54 unforced errors, and a win. Just what happened? What was going on in that match? Like that's like a common box score for her. Just ridiculous. Like not Osaka, excuse me. Hastapino. What am I trying to say?
Ostapenko.
Hastapenko.
Yeah, not Osako. Excuse me, but yeah, the
Hastapenko.
I'm gonna say it with an H now.
Hey, noobs, or maybe Jorge. If Osaka does play Azarenka, I'm trying to decide how much to throw on this Azarenka future here. What's the line if they both go like straight sets and they play in the third round? Is it a pick 'em or is it like Osaka minus
closer to the ladder
175?
Yeah,
I think it's actually not that big of a line. I think Osaka will definitely be the favorite just because she's the more popular player. But I'm going to happily bet Azarenka is the dog in that match.
Okay, I'm following Spread's advice. I'm putting a half unit, $50 on Azarenka. If we're
one thing I will also say about this is it's not like doing the ATP draws, where, you know, we can kind of predict these quarterfinals and stuff. I mean, you'll notice from the other WTAs, the difference between the number 10 player and the number 50 player is a lot smaller over here in the WTA. And a lot of times these draws will just clear out just off upsets. I know the Wimbledon was just insane on how many seeds lost in the first couple rounds. So I think it's a lot harder to kind of project the later rounds than it is, say, when we were doing the ATP draw.
So you're saying Osaka's going to do me a solid and lose to Gavrilova in the second round?
I'll be looking hard at Gavrilova.
Because Gavrilova,
I love to hear
Osaka
it.
Osaka doesn't play well. I mean, she could lose to Lynette. I mean,
it's funny. You make it sound like that's what you love about the WTA.
It is.
That's what scares me off of it. It feels like when I am looking at outrights or anything, it's just like, you guys are just guessing. Like these women, we need to talk to Jay about the moon cycle betting.
I can't believe you brought that up.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is why they're the ball boys, and we do the network podcast. So it sounds like this quarter has actually a lot of value. You know, we talked about the first quarter. We hardly picked anybody out here. We've talked about Azarenka so far. We've talked about Elise Mertens. I know Jorge has tried to talk about Alina Svitolina as little as he possibly could. But even at 14-1, she's probably some pretty good value. So any other thoughts on this second quarter, guys, before we keep moving on?
Yeah, I'd already placed on Svitolina, and that was off Kelly's question to you, and we were charting how well the finalists in the Singapore did, and that had led me to just do it right away. And I think that does have some merit, so I wouldn't be surprised if this is a time for her to make a breakthrough. And like I said, it looks stacked right now, but I also wouldn't be surprised if this quarter is cleared out. You know, with some upsets there in the first couple
it
rounds.
It is a really, really, really fun quarter. And Kelly, thank you very much for that question. Nice. For those of you who may not have listened to the Mailbag podcast, we took a quick look at success in Singapore and how that translates to the next year. And when you look at people who finished in the top two, they really have a great year in the following year. Five of the last nine Australian Open champions finished out of the top two in Singapore. So, come on, Jorge, talk us through. Is Alina Svitolina actually going to win the Australian Open this year?
I hope if any of you put money on her, you all make a whole lot of money and are super happy about it. Oh, God, I hope. I really, really do.
Thank you for that. I couldn't possibly let you get away without that. But it's good to hear that you're a little confident there. For those of you guys that don't know Jorge, that's probably just about as confident as he might get in this situation. So let's jump down to the third quarter here. Again, so we have some pretty good names here. Petra Kvitova, who's coming off a possible finals win. We also have Ashleigh Barty coming off a finals win. And we have the third favorite to win the Australian Open, a little player that you may or may not have heard of, Aryna, the Amazonian warrior princess, Sabalenka. So what are we thinking about the third quarter here? Jorge, I hear you chuckling. Do you have any advice, or are you going to be betting on Sabalenka? Is there anybody else?
I think that was the other Canucker, but I've got Ash Barty. I released it the other day at I pulled it up here because it's down to 16-1 now at both Pinnacle and Bet365. But I released it the other day at, I think, 25-1 as my outright pick for this.
Is that pre-draw?
Yes, it was. It was my only pre-draw pick, and I think I don't know what the draw to do with, or maybe the play in Sydney beating Kiki Bertens has certainly helped knock that price down, because she was behind Kiki in the outright market. And then I think that head-to-head win in Sydney in the semis there kind of brought her price down. So at the very least, I've got that beautiful hashtag CLV.
Will she be tired? Like, she's playing in about 5 minutes in Sydney.
I don't think so. She's young enough. She has the Sydney flight's an hour and a half to Melbourne. And
does that go through Columbus?
I thought I had such a good edge on that I Canberra. I'm like, oh my god, I'm on the wrong page. Wonderful.
That's funny.
No, I guess I have a question on that, and maybe just there's some people in here that have bet tennis a lot longer than I have. The fatigue factor, and Whale brought this up too. I mean, it's even more different with the women who do not have to play the best of five. But I mean, can somebody be legitimately fatigued in January, even if they went
not yet
multiple three set matches to the final, a three set final? I just don't know. Like, I mean, the fatigue is fatigue, but these are still world class athletes. And I think the fact that somebody makes a final in an early tournament just goes to show that they took their off-season prep seriously. They're not out of shape, and they can't possibly be, you know, just going into the Aussie really tired. It just feels like they haven't had the grind. They haven't had the travel. They haven't had, you know, everything that goes into making it a quarter, a half, two-thirds of the way through a season, that you'll see some of that fatigue later in the season. So I don't know how much stock to put into some of that stuff as far as people playing deep into the tournaments this week.
Right. Yeah, I think it's too early.
Well, I also think Well, I don't know. It depends on the player. Whale made a good point on the scope about how Halep was fatigued from her her three-setter that went 14-12 early in the round, and then by the tournament went on. And when you have players like Halep, Wozniacki, Kerber, the players that, you know, grind, I think they can get fatigued because they don't get the easy service games, you know, like the men or like Sabalenka or Pliskova would get, you know, where they can just kind of roll and rock the games. I mean, they are grinding for every point of every match, even on their serve. And I think they can get fatigued. So I think it is a factor. But I know the question was originally about Ash Barty, and I don't think that Ash Barty will succumb to fatigue. Number one, she can get the easy service games, which allows her to roll. And number two, she just seems to be a player that just has a lot of stamina. I don't remember her fatiguing ever. I don't know if it's good scheduling or just the way that her style is, but she plays a lot of doubles too. And I don't remember ever really seeing her where she lost because she seemed too tired. So as far as the Barty case, I don't think that I would worry about fatigue with her, but I definitely would worry about fatigue with some of the more grinding.
She's not as old as some of the other name branded players on tour, but is she going to suffer the same jitters in front of the home crowd that Sam Stosur does?
And see, that's the other issue. I don't think so. I think she's much more mentally tough. She's got the same thing going on in Sydney at the Ken Rosewall Arena. That's a pretty big sized arena. I know it's not the Aussie and it's not a slam, but I think it's a premier event. She's playing really good competition. Maybe this is going to be a good way for her to get accustomed to having the crowd and pressure on her. So it's perfect.
Work those jitters out.
Exactly.
Well, she might break a bit of it here in the first game. I may be streaming women's tennis right now.
He's just waiting. He's just waiting for Dimmenauer. Don't kid yourself. He's not watching it for this.
If anybody doubted Kelly being an absolute wild card, he took not only a flight but a connecting flight from Ontario to Las Vegas to sit in his room, podcast with us, and stream women's tennis. He is a true grinder, a true degenerate, and we appreciate him.
Okay, can I ask one more question about the women's third quarter before you guys move on?
It's the only way we're going to learn. Yeah,
so Belinda Bencic is someone who people on Twitter were touting like 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And when I was still betting women's tennis, I would throw some money on her. She upset Serena famously. It's like, what's her deal? How healthy is she? Because she's off the map now, right? Like, she's...
Oh, not mixed doubles. No, I think
she's back on the map. She's done pretty well recently. Yeah? And she's starting to get some of that form back. I think she's got the big ground strokes, and I think that's why she got all the attention is, you know, obviously the big hitters, you know, grab our attention when they blow people off the court. She struggled with inconsistency. And I think the fact that, you know, she did have a year or two that was kind of bad, and now the attention's off her, I think that's allowed her to... kind of relax and seem like she's coming into herself. And I actually would not be surprised to see her put up a good performance here. I know she's got a tough draw. She's going to play Siniakova, then the winner of Boots and Strzokova. Mm-hmm. And then if she wins that, she'll probably play Kvitova. I mean,
well, that's my question though. Like, Kvitova's more of a grass. Like, Kvitova doesn't have any slams on hard courts, right? Like, she wins Wimbledon.
Right. So, but the faster surface,
fast court will help her, yeah.
Suitor, yeah.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Now, the fun part about Bencic is she was gone for 2 years with kind of the surgeries and recovering, and then last year she reemerged. She's, I think, back around the top 50 now, and the year before that is when she had that, you know, that huge run that everyone was touting her. I think she made the top 10. She's only 21 right now. Wow. I mean, all this, she's been through all of that, and she's only 21 years old. To put everything in perspective, it's incredible. She's still got a ton of time. She's years younger than Jeannie, who's trying to do the same thing. So she's got a ton of time to turn it around. I think she's great, but I think she loses first round here. I think that's one hell of a tough draw in Katerina Siniakova.
Jeannie's got a lot of miles on her, though, if you know what I mean.
That was another mailbag question. Notches on the belt.
No, unreal.
From yeah, our unreal. Good buddy.
Oh,
so do we all sit back now and let Noobs talk about?
Well, actually, I was going to ask Spread. Does he want to lament about Ostapenko first, or should I gush about Sabalenka first? What do you think, Spread?
It'll be really quick. It'll be the same thing I say every week. I don't think she's taking tennis seriously yet. I think that she's caught up in her celebrity, and I'm not going to be backing her in any form. I'll be rooting for her against Sakari, but I think Sakari will probably beat her.
Well, this has been your very sad Helena Ostapenko update. really disappointed by that. I mean, it's...
I have an Ostapenko update, too, from like 4 minutes ago. From like probably 7-8 minutes ago when I obviously confused her with Osaka because I wasn't paying that close attention. Because I'm like, God, she's not even in this quarter. What am I talking about? But yeah, same thing. She's one of my favorite tennis players because she can go out and beat anybody, and then she can also just not give a shit and make the cutest faces.
She's the best. I mean, there's only really maybe one tennis player better from a gift perspective, but I personally think Ostapenko is the best. But to answer your question maybe more directly, Kelly, I love this draw for Sabalenka. You know, she has a pretty easy first round match here with a qualifier, should have no problem with the winner of Bulter Makarova. She then faces maybe Lesia Soranko, who could be tough maybe from a craftiness perspective, but I have no problem with her getting past that match. And then, you know, probably looking at Petra Kvitova, who will possibly be tired. But all that said, you know, her price right now, she's the third favorite to win this tournament. She's, you know, 11 to 1 odds. I don't think I can honestly, you know, put any money on her at those numbers.
You're not going to put money on her?
No, not at 11 to 1.
What the fuck?
I mean, it's not about who you like the most. Come on, Kelly.
It's not like she's 5 to 1.
It's Jose
Moyle. Oh. All this talk for like 6 months. I'm going to peer pressure you into a bet before we're off this pod. You've been talking about this broad for 6 months. And then you tell me her draw's wide open and she's the Amazonian princess. She's fucking Wonder Woman. And you're not going to put a bet on her at 11 to 1?
What I'm going to probably do is just open at a parlay, actually. I think I'm going to get more value out of the rolling money line parlay. If I take a look at the draw, I'm going to actually take some time and do that math. But 11 to 1, there's no value in that. I firmly believe
I'm
going to
get my return flight home redirected to Philadelphia.
I look forward to seeing you tomorrow, Kelly. And I appreciate that. I really do. I want it better. I do. Everything in me wants to. But I think this is another spot where 11 to 1, I don't know. I can't see ever betting really a WTA outright, you know, at that price, let alone in this tournament.
What about 3.5 to 1 to win the quarter?
I like 3.5 to 1 to win the quarter. I think that looks nice, but that's probably
there
priced
we
correctly.
Go.
Right. I'll probably put a little money on 3.5 to 1. All right, fine.
I
Kelly.
Feel like
there
I
got
to I gotta put some money. Yes!
There you go. All right, fine. Jorge, you didn't seem to mind that. What did you think?
I think that her quarter is the better way to go because Wozniacki with her, you never know how the arthritis that she got diagnosed with in the offseason is going to flare up. Kvitova hates the heat, even though she likes the faster conditions. Sabalenka can, and I think Sabalenka actually is one of the few people who hits harder than Kvitova anyway. So that even the faster conditions she likes aren't to her advantage. And that's the only two threats I really see down there other than Ashley Barty. So I hope you guys lose your money. And I was on Barty for the value. But if you write a line for Barty versus Sabalenka, it's not going to be, you know, Barty is a huge favorite. I mean, you're probably better. Yeah, you're.
Do you think Barty is favorite in that there. Matchup?
No, she's not.
Sabs would be favored.
That's kind of what I was thinking,
You can make a case for Sabs to win the quarter, but I can still make a case for Barty to win outright. It's weird, even though they're in the same quarter. But based on value, and I think that 25 to 1, I'm good. And I still think Sabalenka is the best player in that quarter. But because they're on opposite sides of it, I'm hoping for a Sabalenka upset earlier. For selfish reasons, but I could see that. I just hate that they're both there because I would love to see them in different quarters or different halves.
I know.
I'd be all over both of them. I'd be over both of them in on the outrights and in, you know, quarter bets.
I totally agree with that. I expect a big year out of Ashley Barty. What do you think, Spread?
I think a potential roadblock that you guys have overlooked here, and Mason would be very disappointed, is Amanda Anisimova. And I think that she'll beat Cerenko. And I think that the way that she was playing earlier this year, I mean, she looked fantastic. She looked like she was not messing around during the offseason. She looked like she was working on her game. And I think that could be a potential roadblock because I think Anisimova at her best, if Sabalenka is not playing her best, I think she could definitely get the upset there. So I think that's one roadblock that you guys might have overlooked. But other than that, I pretty much agree with most of what you say. I think that one problem that Sabs would have against Kvitova if they were to run into each other would be that Kvitova returns so much better in my mind. I think that Kvitova is much better at using the server's pace against them. Where Sabalenka seems to struggle with first serve. She only chips them back, and she really only has a strong return when she's feasting on weak second serve. So that would be the advantage I would give Kvitova there. But I'd say don't overlook Anisimova because she's got a lot of talent, and she's pretty tall, and she can really smack that serve too. I can see.
Is she Putin's daughter? Is that the one?
No, that's Krunic.
Allegedly. How old is Anisimova?
Anisimova is 16 or 17.
Yeah, okay. She's not Monica Seles here. She's not going to win anything. She's 17.
And you chill out, Kelly. That's somebody's daughter.
The moral of the story is we've all talked about multiple women from this and analyzed who could go far, who's the value. And the one name that didn't come up, and this is the one thing I urge people to do, is not bet Maria Sharapova. That's the one name that did not come up in this third quarter in this discussion, and it's for a reason. She has not been great since she came back. She's a big name who's got slams under her belt, but she is not going to win this quarter, win this slam, and there's no value in her number. And I think that is something that we should mention before we move on to the fourth quarter there.
I think you're absolutely right.
And I think it's crazy how we've pretty much written off the defending champ Wozniacki, too. So, I mean,
she's
that's another thing to look at.
Yeah. That might be 2 years.
Well, Spread.
What's her health?
Spread, Kelly, I talked a little bit about this on the Periscope. She got diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. And right. that basically is an immunodeficiency that attacks her joints. And that's going to be worse in the heat and the humidity. The Australian Open is a really bad condition for her. So I think we might see a couple good matches out of Woz. Right. But once you get to that second, you know, once you get to that third or fourth round, I think her body's going to be in a pretty tough spot.
I forgot about that. Your beard distracted me on the on the Periscope.
Well, I heard it distracted somebody else, which also made me very happy about that process.
Yeah, it distracted my whole family. Yeah,
boy, distracted the whole family. Boy, that was a throwdown there. I want a quick sidebar. And I just posted this in the chat. Please, by all means, Andy, get off topic as far as possible. You guys know the Sam Stosur song?
Oh, I love this thing that you posted. Once a year, you have to watch this. It's amazing.
You guys know the Sam Stosur song. If you don't, please not. Watch it after this. But it basically,
it's so amazing.
We're definitely going to post this on the podcast for sure.
Yeah. Any
it's so
any
great.
Any tennis player whose last name ends in O-V-A, of which there are many, to quote the president.
So many.
They made a song.
It's actually really long. Like, it's like 3 minutes.
It's actually quite catchy, too. But every time it's you so say great. Alexandrova, Makarova, Sharapova.
It's about Sam Stosur, though, right?
Sam Stosur, which is weird.
It's a bunch of Aussies. Yeah, they're pumping up Sam Stosur and how she's going to beat all the Ovas.
Beat all the Ovas. Like, I cannot get that song out of my head when we were talking about WT.
So, it's so great.
Once we're done with the pod, please give that a listen. It's the song of a generation.
We'll definitely post that at the bottom of the pod and make sure that people have that. And before we dive in here to the fourth quarter, for a quick update, Ashley Barty serving up two breaks on Petra Kvitova. Just crushing it here in Australia.
The bulldog
I love
of Brisbane.
It.
Shout out, Sydney. Hey, shout out to our boy Jay, who I may have tailed on a WTA.
That is never a bad idea.
He hates women's tennis.
Why not?
That is never a bad idea, telling our buddy Jay. So let's dive in here to the last quarter. You know, again, a couple pretty good names. I'll list off some of the big ones here. We've got Sloane Stephens in this quarter, Angelique Kerber down at the bottom half, Caroline Garcia. Jorge, what do you think here? What are some of your favorite names in this bottom quarter?
I wouldn't touch any futures here other than Julia Gerges and Kiki Bertens. I prefer Gerges with the number. She's got the serve to pretty much keep her in a match against anyone on tour in faster conditions. She warmed up by defending her title down in Auckland, so she's in form. I love Caroline Garcia. You guys know that. We talk about it every week. All round, like, well-rounded game, good first serve. She's got all the attributes, but she has been terrible this year to start. She played two tournaments. She took a wild card into Hobart to be the top seed. She wasn't originally going to play there. There's no money. It's not a big points event, just to try and get more matches in, and lost the first match. So to Sophia Kennan. So I'm not going anywhere near Garcia. Not huge on Kerber, especially at the number here. So I would say stick with one of those two. I'll be on Gerges as my third outright bet, personally. But those are the two
I
that
love
I like.
Gerges too. What do you think, Spread? What names does Gerges pop out for you here in the bottom quarter? And who else do you like?
Yeah, I've already placed that one, but I wouldn't dismiss Kerber's chances here. I think that her on hard courts, and even though like we think of her as a grinder and a defensive player, I think she does very good at using her opponent's pace against her. So for being a defensive player, I don't think that the quick courts necessarily work against her. I think she's able to use the pace and also generate angles to hit winners. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a Kerber run here. But as far as the betting, the only one I placed was the Gerges, because I couldn't believe, you know, when you were talking earlier, and I don't have it in front of me, I guess I could look it up, but comparing, you know, the other people that were 50-1 with Gerges, I just couldn't believe it, because Gerges just has the serve and she can hit the winners, and when she's on, you know, she can win matches regardless of who she's playing. So I definitely like that bet.
This is your friendly reminder to go out and check as many books as you can for prices. So Spread just quoted a 50-1 on Julia Gorgeous, which is widely available at certain places. I'm looking at Bovada right now at 40-1. So be sure, guys, if you're going to go out and bet any of these outrights, open as many books as you have access to, check the prices and make sure you're going in the right place. Now I'll kick it to our buddies at the Ball Boys. Kelly or Andy, do you have any thoughts here on the bottom quarter? Any questions for us?
I wonder how many times those Germans have played. the Germans, the Gürges and Kerber. You know they're both 30. They're both from Germany. They're both high level tennis players. You think they played each other a shitload when they were young? Like, just I'm just spitballing and wondering. Like, that's the kind of stuff that goes into my head. I bet they played each other for years.
Yeah, it's helpful for the outrights.
No, it's not helpful at all. I'm just thinking. But either way, I'm excited for that match. I've Kerber made me money when she won her slam, and Gürges, I know I've made some money off her. So I like these German girls. I'm excited also for Bethany Maddox Sands. Not in the singles draw, but she is from Rochester originally. So local girl playing Aussie. She'll probably lose the Aussie wild card. I just hope she doesn't blow her knee out because that was excruciating to watch. And then I think the biggest question mark in the bottom quarter is our girl Sloaner. Like I think we've done this over and over with this whole draw. Like, hey, here's a girl that's super good and probably has top five talent. And is she going to care or play well? So I don't know if
she can lose first round.
No, I mean, she could 100% lose to Townsend. Like, she could lose to anybody. She could fuck up in all these first round or any of these first three matches.
I think Townsend's style. I think Stevens beats her, even if she's not her best. I think Townsend's a great matchup for her in the first round. And I actually I messed up. I did place a bet on Stevens based off Kelly's question. I did it during the mailbag pod. So I actually do have a future on Stevens as well. But, no, I mean, I get what you're saying about her to play seven matches in a row. But I don't think she'll lose in the first round. I think this Townsend is just tailor-made for her. I mean, get that. Never mind.
I just hate – I'm not a big person. I'm not a big fan of betting, an outright for women that have such small odds as she always does now after her U.S. Open, when she can lose to anyone on any day, and her attitude isn't great. And I'm not a fan of Sloane Stephens. I don't like her as a player. Wow. And I don't like her from a betting perspective just because the value is never there because she is so talented. It's like Kyrgios. You never get the value, but then if you use them in a parlay, they lose. If you try and back the spread, they don't even come close to covering it. Then when you leave them alone, they win 6-1, 6-1. Just one of those players that I can never win with, so I've sworn it off.
Okay, so let me ask a question about a single matchup. Because I don't like any – I agree with your – with Jorge's assessments. I don't know if there's any outrights in this bottom quarter that I'm interested in. Heather Watson is a dog in the first round. Can she win that matchup?
Oh, no.
She can't?
No, I'm actually really, really big on Petra Martic. That's one of my big bets in the first round.
I've never heard of this girl.
Petra Martic should be able to wipe her.
Really? Okay. Well, I guess I'm not betting any singles matches at the Aussie Open then. Okay. That was my only question.
He's going to hate us if she wins.
Yeah.
He's going to hate us if
really
she
will.
Wins that one.
He's the most fun girl to watch on the women's tour, that's for sure.
What was the general consensus on Kargar? Like, she's kind of in the middle of that section between the Germans. I guess I didn't really make sense of what Jorge said as far as, like, is she playing well enough to make her way out of that? And, I mean, there is a chance she has to play both of them, but does she have the game right now to beat Gürges and Kerber?
I think your summary of Jorge, not really totally understanding where he was coming from is probably an accurate understanding. We don't know what to do with Caroline Garcia. She's super talented. She has all these beautiful parts of her game. She hits some fantastic shots, but just comes out some days and just has no idea what she's doing. Is that wrong, Jorge?
Well, I mean, the losses to Ivana Jurovic and Sofia Kenin, it's hard to then bet on her to win seven in a row at a slam. I'm not a huge fan of the recency bias, and I try and swear it off, but I mean, she hasn't won a set of tennis, I don't think, in her two matches. So she might have won one set, but I know she lost in straights to Jurovic, and it's like, you're losing to players ranked, 120 and 60 fairly handily. It completely pushes me off being able to bet on her. Yeah, 6-4, 6-2, 6-3, 6-2. She hasn't even won five games in a set yet, and she hasn't played a top 20 player or top 25 player. It's really hard for me to justify any sort of bet there, as good as she is.
Yeah, my strategy for Garcia is going to be to fade her until the European swing, when I expect that she'll – she'll come back to form, but she's definitely not playing well right now, and I don't see any reason to think that. So I'm going to sit there. You know, she's probably going to lose some. The value will drop, and then I think once we hit the European swing, we'll be able to back her and, you know, be at some plus money prizes and maybe make some money then. But until then, stay away or fade.
Boy, if you had to watch one match, would it be Gebert, Burrell, or Maya Pera? What is wrong with that section of the draw? What happened there? What did they do? Those are smart.
Vekic Mladenovic.
Yeah, you can't use a third.
There's only one
third bonus question, but yeah, the section between the section between Kerber and Vekic. I don't know these. I don't know either of those women. The qualifier and the wild card. There, the Aussie wild card, and then the Spanish girl. I'm not sure who those are. So somebody's probably going to get a win in the Aussie, who might not have just because of a really nice draw. I don't know what their rankings are. I'm sure you can tell me, but yeah,
the one problem with parity, Andy. You know, yeah, when you have this much parity, you know, you have smaller women who aren't quite as good that end up in the draw, and that's one of the nice things about parity.
Parity.
Are you sure it's parity? That's the word we're looking for.
I think parity is the word that I was looking for. So thank you for confirming that. It's good to make sure that I'm using the right word.
That's like when you that's parody with a D. No, I got you. So.
All right, guys. Do we have any other thoughts here on the fourth quarter, or any thoughts really in general? I think I'm just down at the bottom of the draw here. I think we've had a lot of really good outrights, and we're approaching probably the end of just about time. Any other thoughts or questions from our buddies at the Ball Boys?
Are we doing the doubles draw or just singles?
Well, Jeannie's going to win the doubles draw, I assume. Is she even playing?
You tell that to my girl BMX. I don't even know who she's paired up with.
Honestly, Siniakova is going to win the doubles draw if I actually had to guess. But
Krejcikova, Siniakova, baby.
That's a lot of ovas. They'll be in that song for sure.
Or, I mean, in dead serious, do you know who Bethany is paired up with?
I don't know because what's her face? Safarova has retired.
She used to be Safarova's partner forever.
But Safarova retired, so I don't know.
Oh, that was a good team, though. Those two broads, they could ball. That was a great doubles.
Didn't they make three slam finals and win two of them in 1 year?
I think Bethany, actually has three out of the four slam double final or double wins. I think she just needed
in the 1 year that one.
Yeah, no, that was a powerhouse. If you guys want to get into women's doubles powerhouses, we can do that all day. But yeah, no, that was quite the squad. Oh, she just needs Wimbledon to get her career double slam, and actually she needs Wimbledon to get her career mixed double slam. So. All eyes on Bethany when we move to the grass. But yeah, no, that's it for me for any thoughts on this. Thanks for having me.
Kelly, any other thoughts here before we wrap it up?
No, I'm excited that you guys convinced me to make four outright bets.
Woo-hoo!
On WTA. So I guess I'll be paying attention to the Aussie Open all the time, I guess, not just on.
And we appreciate whatever you were drinking for helping you to make those outright bets. I'll kick it finally to my.
The lot of right.
I love it.
Duty
That's
free.
Right. I'll kick it to my two net worth buddies, Spreader, Jorge. Anything else here before we close it out and say thank you to our wonderful listeners?
I'm going to jump in. Remember, folks, bet the high numbers. Bet a woman with that can hit and that has a good first serve. For the speedier conditions, and take someone that you can get these women in the top 20. Elise Mertens, Julia Gerges, and Ash Barty now are all top 20 players. Not anymore, but Ash Barty was 25-1, Gerges as high as 50-1, and Mertens at 66-1 for a top 20 player on the WTA when anyone can win a slam. Find those value numbers.
Love that. Look for the big number or take no number at all. Anything else, Spread, before we wrap up?
Yeah, it's basically piggybacking off what Jorge said there. There's something that I did And let's take someone who can hit big and has a good first serve. And my other outright, I had to throw $10 at Katerina Siniakova plus 30,000. I mean, I had to do it. So I figured I'd just throw one down there. And I think that she really, out of the people down here, except for maybe Vondrousova, has the most potential. And so that was just kind of a fun one that I did. But I just wanted to mention that I had also placed that.
I kind of like that. As well. And that's, you know, that's the best part about the WTA. Right? I talked a little bit about that on the Periscope today. You know, unlike the men's draw where, you know, we just spent just about an hour trying to avoid the fact that Novak Djokovic is probably going to win. We spent about an hour here talking about the women's draw. And I don't think that any of us came with anybody who were really confident, you know, if we had to bet our lives on it, would actually win this tournament, which is fantastic. So take your time, look for somebody who has a good draw and pick some really good outrights. And, you know, thanks everybody for joining us today. It was really, really a lot of fun. Again, check out the Ball Boys podcast. You can find them, Ball Boys with a Z, on just about every podcast app or whatever, I think. And you can find them on Twitter at Ball Boys. Of course, the Ball Boys are Andy at Andy MSFW and Kelly, who you can find at Big Ten Watto. Of course, very happy to have Jorge at Jorge TWTS. Tennis and Spread a Stare at Spread a Stare, and I'm at underscore noobs, and thanks everybody for listening.
Good luck with all your wagers.
Unless you bet against us.
Definitely.